And in our current society, there seems to be only one sin, intolerance, which is intolerantly insisted upon.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, back again to talk with you about standing up for Jesus. We've been talking about some very gross evils, abortion, homosexuality, for which our country will certainly be judged, and against which we who love God and intend to do what he says must take a stand. Stand up for Jesus. Be willing to be counted, to be thought far out, weird, narrow, conservative, fundamentalist, ignorant, bigoted, and intolerant. None of us relishes bearing labels like that. But if that's the cost, it's very small, isn't it, compared to the importance of standing up for Jesus. And in our current society, there seems to be only one sin, intolerance, which is intolerantly insisted upon. We're supposed to be tolerant of everything. Those who point at the sin of intolerance as the cardinal sin are themselves totally intolerant of intolerance. Which reminds me of old Gert Bahana, who one time said, "I found out that I am a snob because I look down on people who look down on people." Are we intolerant of intolerance? What is our norm for judgment of these issues? Is it the daily papers, the news broadcasts? Listen to these solemn words from the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:1-7. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. We hear a lot about learning to love yourself, don't we? And this is a description of terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. And in verses 10 to 17, also from 2 Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Well, it is from the Holy Scriptures that I take my cues. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I think that describes the proliferation of seminars on everything under the sun except what God says. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I am already poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. And when I read the news, I long for his appearing. When I hear these unspeakable things that are happening, sometimes all I can think of to pray is, come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, please come back. Well, I had a letter from a woman. She said, the Lord had given me a burden for life issues long before I'd given my life in service to him. I had known some pro-life individuals throughout the years, and I was intellectually and emotionally committed to life. However, I found that it was safer not to say or do too much that would rock the proverbial boat with regard to this volatile issue. She says, the desire for a child increased, yet our fertility seemed to have decreased dramatically. Finally, it seemed that the Lord had answered our prayers. And then she tells about how she thought she was quite sure that she was pregnant, and she lost the baby. As I looked into the tissue, I was shocked to see a perfectly formed, precious little baby at approximately 6 to 7 weeks of gestation. Her skin was as thin as onion skin paper, transparent and fragile, and her blood vessels were easily discernible through her skin. I was overcome with emotion and incredulity, and the first thought that came to me was, dear God, this is what we are destroying when we are aborting first trimester babies. I'll never forget the impact of that moment. It was not as if this information was a new revelation to me, for I had known the facts regarding abortion for years. However, a new depth of commitment to the pro-life cause came about as a result of this baby, because I knew experientially the travesty of an aborted life. The abortion which I experienced was God-ordained, and I want to make sure you understand she is referring to a spontaneous abortion, an act of God, not a therapeutic abortion. The abortion which I experienced was God-ordained, yet the grief, pain, and suffering which followed must have been similar to that of therapeutically aborted women who admit to their feelings. I've seen pictures of that tiny, tiny child. I remember a very vivid picture in color of this 6 or 7 week old baby. It looked as though it was in a teardrop, but it was perfectly formed. Just amazing to think that that is considered a thing. May God deliver us from regarding what he has created as merely a thing. What are we to do with the gift of life? Shall we acknowledge, first of all, that it's created by God and recognize the sanctity of what is made in his image? Shall we hold it in reverence? If any human life, however frail, however incapable of retaliation, is entrusted to us, shouldn't we nourish and cherish it? Or may we, by some enormously civilized and educated rationalism, convince ourselves either that it is not a person, or that although it is a person, its life is not worth living, and that therefore what we do with it is a matter of individual choice? My husband and I saw exactly this frame of mind in action when we happened to be in New York City on a day when the people who are trying to preserve animals from being killed for their fur were demonstrating along Fifth Avenue. They were wearing only towels. Men and women lined up along the sidewalk, clad only in towels, with big banners saying, I'd rather go naked than wear fur. So I went up to one of these women who was holding the banner, and I said, may I ask you a question? She said, yes. I said, are you pro-choice? And she said, what's that got to do with anything? And I said, well, you're protesting the killing of animals. You don't mind the killing of babies. And she looked at me with the utmost towering scorn, and she said, it's not a baby until it's born. So I went on to another one. I asked her the same question. She said, it's two entirely different issues. There's no connection at all. You're talking about animals and you're talking about people. But she said, it's not a person. It's not a baby until it's born. So that sounded to me like a stock answer, one that any woman knows is a lie. No woman who has ever been pregnant has any doubt that what she is carrying is a baby. Are we talking about a person or a thing? I saw a billboard with a picture of a baby in the womb, and the caption was, is this a choice or a child? This is what we have to think of. It is my prayer that you will recognize the mystery of human life. A child is a gift, a heritage from God. And if I'm talking to anyone today who may be pregnant and considering an abortion, let me urge you in the name of Jesus Christ to find a crisis pregnancy center. They will help you. They will counsel you. They will provide for you. They have food. They have clothes. They have a place for you to stay. They will take care of your baby. They will help you with adoption if you choose adoption. But in God's name, preserve that little life.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.